I'm at Camden BRI with Sarah Thomas, Manager of Innovations Insights within the Consumer and Sensory Science Department, and Mike Adams, Nutrition and Health Lead, and we are discussing reformulation for calorie reduction. So Sarah, what are the main drivers for product reformulation?
Okay, well, I think you've got quite a few drivers, but those that would be at the top of my list, health is obviously a key one. We've had focus on sugar, fat and salt reduction. And we've seen really amongst consumers an increase in demand for foods and drinks that are using natural ingredients with freshness and nutritional benefits as key indicators. Clearly, in more recent months, we've had government challenges. Recent introduction with the sugar tax has been a major driver for reformulation with regard to sugar content, and this has had implications for flavour and texture adjustments. And then we need to remember our consumers, and they have had a huge demand for on-the-go snacks. You can have that savoury or sweet. And what we've seen is a continued demand for sustained energy via high protein, fat-free and sugar reduction within those types of products. And then more generally, you know, we've always seen our suppliers and our clients trying to make cost savings on key ingredients in order to try and reduce costs.
And Mike, what are the technical challenges then in undertaking reformulation?
When we consider fat, sugar and salt, which, as Sarah said, are three of the key nutrients that we're looking to reduce or replace in products, they tend to affect a number of different aspects of products beyond just what consumers perceive. So shelf life, structure and texture, and also processing aids when manufacturing the products are all key areas that these nutrients influence. Now, replacing one of these nutrients, say fat, you have to consider what it does within the product and make sure your replacement replaces the functionality.
And technically then, what are the opportunities that this presents?
In trying to understand what the functionality of these ingredients are, it means the work that you put in allows you to really understand the complexities of your product and what all of the different interactions within it are, both during the manufacturing process and over the life of the product on the shelf. This could mean that you can find new opportunities to optimise your manufacturing process or your recipe to reduce nutrients that you would like to or improve the health of your product. Now, we talk about fat and salt and sugar, and often these are included as single ingredients. And they're an obvious route to remove or reduce these ingredients within your product. However, analysing all of the ingredients together, holistically, as the entire product, means that you may discover new opportunities and new routes to improve the nutrition profile of your product that you may not have considered before. So really, it's about upfront analysis and research could allow you to explore new routes and even develop new products that you didn't necessarily think that you could with the recipe and the manufacturing process that you have.
And Sarah, what are the risks of this?
So I think to try and help manage the risk when you are creating and about to develop new prototypes and go into launch for a product, the first thing you need to do is really assess the concept ideas with the target market to identify if there's enough interest among consumers to merit further development. And typically when we do concept assessment, we will look at uniqueness, appeal, believability, look at brand fit, look at purchase interest, quantity, frequency and value for money. So there's a whole range of metrics there that you'd use to assess that concept. And then if you get a real positive feedback from the concept assessment, then you can progress to the next stage, which would be looking at developing your different prototypes. And once you've got one or several prototypes ready for assessment with consumers, then again, there's a couple of stages that we would recommend. And I think you've got to keep in mind what the key objective here is, and that is to assess whether the new version, the reformulated product, does it perform as well as the current product? And then secondly, whether core users are actually alienated by any of the changes you've made to the reformulated product.
And what does this mean in practice?
So a few of the steps we would recommend would be, first of all, to do a discrimination test. And this is to establish whether respondents can differentiate one product from another. And if you get a low percentage of panelists correctly noticing a difference between the new version and the current product, then the risk is much lower for you to then progress with consumers and progress into launch. We would, however, recommend that you do assess your new prototype with consumers, ideally with your target audience, because they're going to be the best ones to identify if there's a difference, a perceived difference between your new product and your current one. So there's a couple of ways you can do consumer testing. You can bring everyone to a central location, or if a more contextual assessment's required, then we can run this as a home placement. Essentially, what you're usually trying to do is to assess consumer acceptability. In other words, that's usually liking and or preference. And we can also do some diagnostic assessments, which is really important if you've been changing key ingredients and you want a metric on attributes to do with flavor or textness. So things like the intensity of the perceived sweetness, has that changed? And has it got an impact on the overall liking of the product? We can also look at things like frequency and likelihood to purchase. And then the third thing just to remember is, like I've already said, the ability to try and test this with your category and brand users, because they're going to be the best indicator of successful product.
And so if I was to ask each of you for one piece of advice you would give to a company reformulating a product to reduce calories, for example, what would it be?
I would say the best thing to do is to approach the project without tunnel vision, focusing on a single ingredient you think will achieve the biggest impact on the stated aim. Often looking at a product holistically will open up new avenues. And I'm a big fan of Dave Brailsford's motto of the theory of marginal gains, where 1% changes to a number of different parts of a product can have a significant impact on the final product attributes or nutrition. So looking at the package as a whole, considering both manufacturing and recipe, will allow you to make small changes without changing the properties of your product, and will help you achieve significant changes to the nutrition profile of your product.
And Sarah?
And I think my piece of advice follows nicely on from Mike's, in that really consider very carefully, does the target market need and want your reformulated product? Because it's one thing to assess for liking acceptability, but unless the product satisfies a personal need, then may not actually be the motivation there to buy the product. And I think sometimes that goes missing in the push to, from a business perspective, to try and bring out new products. A lot of the time is actually, does the consumer need this? Is it really relevant to them and their lifestyle and so on? And the other thing just probably to pick up on, if you're spending a lot of investment reformulating the product, then don't forget about the packaging, because there needs to be alignment between what the packaging is communicating about the product experience and the brand, and there needs to be really good fit there between the packaging and the product.
Sarah Thomas, Mike Adams, thank you both very much indeed.